All right, what's up, everybody? It is Tuesday, March 21st, and I want to welcome you to tonight's broadcast. I am your host, Ricky Scaparro, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. And we want to welcome you to the broadcast. If this is your new, if this is your first time joining us, and you're new to the program, let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. So tonight, we're going to change things and shift gears a little bit, and we're going to teach a little bit. So tonight, I want to deal with the subject on judgment begins in the house of God. This is something that you've probably heard preached or taught many years, and you probably, when I talk about this subject, you have this perception of what this means. But it's interesting. We're going to go into the Greek understanding of the word judgment in this passage and bring out some stuff that maybe you've never seen before. So let's get after it.
Of End Time Headlines.
So again, guys, we want to welcome you again to this, to our podcast. It's Tuesday, March 21st. And before we get into this teaching tonight, again, I want to encourage you, if you've not yet downloaded our free app, please go do it today. If you're watching this by Rumble, by YouTube, by Facebook Live, or any kind of video platform in which there's a description of this video, in under here, you're going to find a place where it says download our free app. If you'll click on that link, it's going to take you right to a page where you can either click on the Apple Play Store or the Google Play Store, depending on which device you got, and you can get our free app. If you are listening by podcast, if you go to, and again, depending on your device, go into your Play Store, type in End Time Headlines, look for our official trademark ETH logo, get our free app today, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be ready to go and get every headline and every podcast when it's readily available, as it's breaking. I mean, it's right there instantly to your hand, so you won't miss any of our segments or our headlines. So let's get after this tonight. Our opening passage for this teaching tonight is going to be in 1 Peter 4:17-19. So let me pull that up and we can read along together. This is 1 Peter 4:17-19. I'll be reading from the New King James. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Again, this is 1 Peter 4:17-19. Before I pull the screen away to myself, away from the passage, you can see here on your screen, if you're watching the visual of this, I have highlighted the word judgment here. Now, for many years, I'm sure if you were like me, you're raised in perhaps a Pentecostal charismatic church. Maybe you've not. You've raised in a nominal church or whatnot. And some way, some form or fashion, teaching, preaching, whatever, you've heard this passage quoted and you've heard it preached. And probably in the context of like this, that judgment is coming from God, and we agree with that. And judgment, now when we think of judgment, we think of bad things. We think of disasters. We think of turmoil. We think of anything that God can use at his disposal. Now, we've done whole segments on the judgment of God. And we talked about, if you read the Bible from Genesis to the book of Revelation, you will discover that many times God uses the four elements of the earth to bring judgment. Earth, wind, water, and fire. So he brings types of disasters upon nations and upon wicked people. You can read this in Jeremiah. You can read this in the book of Isaiah. You can read this in the book of Genesis. You can read this in the book of Exodus. It's all there. Okay. So in was again, as far as disasters go, in forms of judgment, earth, wind, water, fire, those four elements, you can see that all through from Genesis to the book of Revelation. So we kind of, having said that, we kind of pull that into, or we take that into, and we pull it into the new covenant, New Testament, right here into 1 Peter chapter 4, when Peter is speaking to the church, he's speaking to us by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he says here, he says that judgment, again, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. Now, we assume here that it means that God is going to pour out his judgment, disasters, turmoils, sicknesses, diseases, plagues, pestilences, famines, poverty, all these things. He's going to pour this out on the house of God. That's the ecclesia, the church, us, the believers inside in covenant with him. And it, and we get this perception that it's going to begin with us. God is cleaning out the house. Now, am I saying that God is not cleaning the house? No, that's not what I'm saying. And I believe that God is cleaning the house. I believe that God is allowing things to be made manifest that's done in the stealth of darkness, or in, that's done in cover. Because what did Jesus say? He said, the thing that which is said in secret shall be made known on the housetops, and the thing that is done in darkness shall be made known into the light. So I'm not denying that at all, but I want to home in on the word judgment here. The word judgment in this passage is actually a Greek word called krima, K-R-I-M-A. And it actually means, listen to this, it refers to fiery trials sent to develop the character of one or the recipient who's being tested. Let me say that again. The word judgment here in 1 Peter 4, 17, 19 refers to fiery trials sent by God, or we could say allowed by God, to develop the character of the recipient that's being tested. Oh, come on, somebody. This brings out a whole new light and perception to this passage. So now let me read this. In the Greek understanding, for the time has come for fiery trials to begin in the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not even obey the gospel of God? Think about it, church. Now you may ask yourself, why would God send fiery trials to us, to the church? Well, Let's go to some more scripture. Because as we get on this thing, you're going to start seeing something that begins to develop here. Here we go. This is James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, that's us, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you and I may be perfect. That word in Greek here is not perfection, as in flawless. Come on, somebody. I have yet to meet any believer who is flawless and walking in perfection. And I will go as far as to say you will never find one. We will never reach perfection as in Jesus Christ. There was only one individual that had flesh and blood, and he was Jesus Christ, who was tempted in all points like you and I, but without sin. This is why he had to do what he had to do, and became, the Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin, that we may become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So he is the only one that could ever reach this level of perfection. The word perfect here means mature or maturity. So let me read this again a little bit slower and tell you what James is saying here. when we are being tested. Anybody out there getting tested lately? Are you going through a trial? Are you going through a test right now? James is saying, I need you to be aware that this testing of your faith, somebody say the testing of your faith. Did you know? I'm going to prove to you in the scripture that all tests and trials that you and I go through is for our faith in the areas in which we are believing God for. Oh, that's good stuff right there. If you are believing God for healing in your body, you're going to go through fiery trials and tests for that area in which you're being, that you're believing God for in the area of healing. If you're believing God in the area of your finances, you can mark it. You can take it to the bank that, listen, and I'm not talking about the devil attacking you. We're not talking about that right here. In fact, I want to venture to say this whole teaching tonight is not about the devil throwing fiery darts at you. This whole teaching is on the principle of God allowing you and I to endure trials and tests, not so that he can see us buckle, not that he can see us fail. That's not what he's doing. He is, again, James says that the testing of our faith is in order for us to produce patience. Oh, I know none of you angels out there have any problem with patience. Listen, if you think that you have reached perfection in patience, I dare you to come to my state of Georgia and go to the Atlanta Metroplex during rush hour during the week and get in your car and just drive for about an hour and we'll see how much patience you've got. Come on, can I get a witness, somebody? Listen. I have been tried in patience and dealing with seasonal allergies since I've moved to the Atlanta Metroplex. But listen to this. James, so what am I talking about? I'm talking about your faith is being tried to produce patience. But look, watch this. But then James says, then we go to another level. Let me pull this off here. I didn't realize I was still on this screen. I don't want you to stare at this the whole time here. Watch what he says here. He says, then this will allow patience to have its perfect work that we may be, and again, that Greek word perfect here is mature, so that we will walk in maturity and be complete, lacking nothing. And you say, well, Brother Ricky, how is that even possible? Listen, I'm going to tell you, some of you guys don't even realize that you are far more mature in your walk with God now than you ever were 10 years ago. If you don't believe that, listen, there's things that you'll be tried in this season that you were tried in 10 years ago and that you were about to throw in the towel 10 years ago. You didn't know how you were going to get out of this thing. You didn't know if God was going to get you through this thing, if your marriage was going to survive, if your finances was going to buckle. You didn't have any perception on how God was going to see you through this thing, but he did see you through this, through that thing, and he got you through that thing, and it built patience in you, and it built maturity in you, and it build endurance in you. And now fast forward 10 years later, and now the same trials are coming back around. And I'm not saying that there's not a demonic element to it and Satan doesn't tempt you, because he does. But watch this. You'll have victory over this thing this time, and it'll be less hardship than it was 10 years ago. Why? Because you've matured greatly. Because your faith has been tested. Come on. And I'm still in the context. And where does it begin? In the house of God. Oh, listen, we're going to go back to 1 Peter chapter 4 when I get to, we're going to make a sandwich of this thing. I've given you the top bun. We're getting into the meat, and then I'm going to close it out at the end with the bottom bun, and we're going to give you the whole sandwich here and for you to be fully nourished. James chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Let's go on here. Let's see what else James wants to give us in his wisdom from the Lord. Ready? Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Now, watch this. We're going from trials to temptation. Two different things. Somebody say trials, temptations. Now, temptation, this is coming from two sources. Now, I know you thought I was going to say God. No. Temptation comes from either Satan or your flesh, your carnal nature. And I would venture to say that the vast majority of the temptation that you and I will be succumbed to and deal with on a daily basis is not some demon on your shoulder tempting you, but rather your own carnal nature. Oh, come on, Brother Ricky. That's some good preaching right there. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Listen to this. Watch this. Blessed is man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now look at verse 13 on your screen here. If you're watching, let no one say when he is tempted, quote, I am tempted by God. Look what James says here. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Come on. If you feel like you're being tempted today, don't get mad at God. Don't blame God. He is not tempting you. God allows us to go through fiery trials for the perfection of our faith so that we can come out on the other end and we can be soldiers in his kingdom. But the temptation, watch this, let's read on. What does verse 14 say? But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Did y'all see that? The origin of temptation is your own desires. Now you say, well, Brother Ricky, I thought you said this Satan could come in this. Yes, he can. Because watch this. God knows your weaknesses, and so does Satan. So watch this. If Satan knows your weaknesses, then he knows the bait in which to put on the hook to entice you. So if you are enticed by lust, he's going to use lust on the bait and the hook to get you. If it is the love of money, he'll put all kinds of opportunities around you to fall into the love of money. Come on, Judas. You want to expose the Judas in the camp? Just put them as a treasurer of the house of God. Get them around some money. Get them around something that's of value. When Mary was pouring out the precious oil, the fragrance, and the form of worship, Judas overlooked the fact that she was pouring out her worship, and he just looked and focused on the money. Why? Because his stronghold, his lust, was the love of money, which the Bible calls the root of all evil. So does everybody understand what I'm saying here? So watch this. So here we go. We have trials and we have temptations. So now let's move on. Then we go over to the book of Luke. I want to go to the book of Luke. So let's go there right here. Luke. Look what it says here. This is Luke 22:31-32. Now, I want to give you some context on this. Jesus began to discuss to the disciples in detail how the Son of Man would be brought to Jerusalem, and he would suffer many things on the hands of the Jews, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, and he would be crucified. And Peter, being the loud mouth that he is, said, Lord, this will never happen to you. We will not permit this to happen to you. And then he goes on to say, even if I have to be put to death, I will follow you to the end. And then watch this. So first of all, Jesus has to rebuke him, and he tells him, get behind me, Satan. He calls Peter Satan because he understood that Peter was being tempted to take an easy way out. And he was tempted to take an alternate route than for the Son of Man to be crucified, because the Bible says that Jesus was the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the earth. So it had to be done, Peter. You couldn't get around. Listen, there is some things that you and I are going to have to go through that we wish that we could go around, but we got to go through. David said, although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, if only I could have went around the valley of shadow of death or went over it or went under it. But no, there is some things that you and I, unfortunately, are going to have to go through it. And when we get on the other side, we realize we have character, we have maturity, we have perseverance. Come on, somebody. So listen to this. Luke 22, 31 through 32, Jesus looks at Peter and he says, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you. This is right along in the same context as Job chapter 1 when Satan asked for Job. Notice here, there's one really awesome thing here, and that is, did you know that in order for Satan to carry out an attack on you, he has to first go and ask and seek permission from the throne of God to in order to be able to do that? Come on. He had to do it for Job. And look at this. Satan had come to Jesus and asked for Simon. He says that he wants to sift him as wheat. Now, if you've ever looked how they sift wheat, it is a, if you were the wheat, it would be a very painful process. But look what Jesus said. But I had prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Notice what Jesus emphasized here. He didn't say, I pray for you that you would stand or that you wouldn't falter or you wouldn't fall or you wouldn't fall away. No, he said, I pray that if anything is going to stand, Peter, after you're sifted, because you are going to be sifted. Don't think that you're going to get around it, get over it, get under it, get away from it, get out. You're not. No, you're going to be sifted. I'm allowing, Peter, this is Jesus speaking to Peter, I'm going to allow you to be sifted. I'm going to allow you to be sifted. But you know what I have prayed for you, Peter? That your faith wouldn't fail. Why? Because it's our faith. Come on, somebody. Those who come to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So listen, every trial and every temptation that a believer goes through on this side of heaven is for your faith in God. That's the sum of it all up. But I'm telling you, there, we can break this down into subcategories. Faith in God in your finances, faith in God in your marriage, faith in God in your children, faith in God in your lost loved ones, your prodigal sons and daughters, our grandsons and daughters that are away from God, faith in your healing of your body, faith in that ministry that you've been believing God for. These are we call with subtitles, but the whole thing is about your faith in God as Jehovah Jireh, as Jehovah Rapha, as Jehovah Shema, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Nisi. He is God. He is everything. And in him is everything that we would need. So Jesus says, I pray for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Now he's prophesying to him and saying, when you've returned to me. In other words, he's saying, Peter, I know you think that you're going to stand and that you're not going to fall and you're not going to buckle and you're never going to slip. But you know, the Bible says, take heed lest you fall. And he says, and he's telling him, Peter, not only are you going to fall, not only are you going to deny me three times, but it's okay, Peter, you're going to fall. Oh, come on. This is a word for somebody. It's okay if you fall once in a while. It's okay if you stumble. It's okay if you fall to your knees. It's okay if you take three steps back and one step forward. The key is to get back up and keep going. And he says to Peter, this is really of a word encouragement, because he's telling Peter that you are going to return to me. Not if, he said, but when you return to me. Then when you return, you can strengthen your brethren. Oh, who am I talking to today? that you've been through some trials and temptations that you have questioned God. Why did you put me through this? Why are you allowing this to happen? When are you going to get me out of this? Do I have to go through this? But what you don't understand and what you don't realize is that when you came out on the other side, your testimony is now going to be a testament to other brothers and sisters that are about to embark in the same trials and temptations as you have already gone through and come out on the other side, come on, and not smelling like smoke. And they're like, my God, if he can make it through that, if his marriage can get to that point and he can come through on the other side, if he can get to that point where he's at death's door and God heal him and deliver him and set him free, if he can break the chains and the power of temptation through drugs and through alcohol and addictions and bondages, and he can get set free from this thing and come out on the other side full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, then God is no respecter of persons, and he can do it for me. Come on, somebody. Are you paying attention today? So I got to get through this. We're almost done here. All right, so then we're going to go over here to listen what Peter, let's go back to Peter here. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. This, I love this scripture here. Ready? Look what he says right here. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Did you hear that? Don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is trying you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Listen, it's amazing how as people who once served the world, and when we give our hearts to Christ, it's amazing how we believe that we're never going to go through any hardships. We're never going to go through any trials. We're never going to be persecuted. We're never going to get laughed at. We're never going to get ridiculed, never get mocked, never get ostracized. We think this, but in fact, Peter's saying here that when you go through fiery trials, you better not even think it's weird. We shouldn't even think it's a strange thing. But listen to what he says here. But rejoice to the extent that you are partaking of Christ's sufferings. Oh, I know none of y'all's got this as a magnet on your refrigerator or a bumper sticker on your mirror when you wake up in the morning. But I'm telling you, this is powerful. He says, rejoice that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Come on, is anybody getting anything out of this today? So now I'm going to take it a little bit stiffer. Now, I told you we're going to take this thing full circle and we're going to go all the way back to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. Now, look at here in, I'm going to go to the book of Matthew chapter 10. I want to show you something here in Matthew 10. Look at this. Look what Jesus says to us, all of us. Ready? Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Now, notice, he sends you out. So in order for you to go out, you must be in somewhere. So you start out in the house of God, but we have to go out the outside of the house of God. Come on, somebody say the house of God, because that's where we are, right? 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to get back to that. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But watch this, when they deliver you up, don't worry about what your, do not worry about how or what you shall speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now look at verse 21. But now brother will deliver up brother to death and a father his child, and children will rise against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Now here's the key. Ready? But he who endures to the end will be saved. So watch this. Jesus is telling us when he commissions us and he sends us out that A, First of all, he's sending us out. Listen, anybody can have victory when you're in the house of God. Anybody can keep their hands raised. Anybody can praise God. Anybody can worship. Anybody can have a testimony and be happy and be excited. But I want to talk to you when you go out of the four walls of the church and you go back to a devil's hell at your workplace. Come on, somebody. You go back out into the streets, back out into the highways and byways, go back out into the broken home, go back out into the family that despises you and hates you because of your testimony to Jesus. That's the people I want to talk to. Are you enduring? Are you holding up? Or are you buckling under pressure? Because now, all in the context of this, Jesus says all this. He says, first of all, he says, I'm going to send you out. And he says, you're going to be a sheep in the midst of wolves. So the sheep are us, the house of God, and the wolves is the world. And he tells us we're going to have to be wise as serpents, but be gentle as doves. And he says here, you need to be aware that men are going to attack you. They're going to persecute you. They are going to accuse you. They are going to slander you and lie on you. Why? Because principalities work through personalities. This is where the temptation comes through. Satan tempted the Son of Man through people. Oh, are you hearing me? If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross and save yourself. If you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. There was people there. There was Roman centurions. There was the high priest. There was Caiaphas. There was the teachers of the law. And they were all making these blasphemous statements out of their mouth. If you be the Son of God, if you be the Son of Man, do this and do that. Heal yourself, healer. Do this and do that. And they were mocking him. They were blaspheming him, doing all these things. And watch this, Satan was working through men. So if the teacher of the house is being persecuted like this, how much more will the students themselves be persecuted? And then he shifts gears and he says here that it will get so bad in the time of the end that it will be our own flesh and blood that will be coming against us. Again, it's one thing for the boss to come against you. It's one thing for your neighbor to come against you. It's one thing for somebody at the store to come against you. It's another thing when it's your own mother, your own father, your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your nephew, your husband, your wife. Do I got your attention, somebody? Can anybody say, I can relate to what this preacher is saying today? And Jesus says, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Now listen, depending on your theology, the end could be the rapture. If you don't believe a pre-tribulation rapture, then your perception of the end is the end of the tribulation and Jesus come back at the end of the tribulation to get you. So again, either way, we are going to have to endure some stuff. So that brings me back to 1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 17 through 19, for the time has come for judgment or fiery trials and tests to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? This is what I felt like the Holy Spirit was speaking to me on this message. We cannot expect to go into a dying world where the goats are, the serpents are, the wolves are. We can't expect to go out there in the midst of wolves as sheep if we are not mature in the Lord, if we have not endured some hardships, some trials, and some tests, and have walked in maturity. Listen, you think you're going to go out here to a drug house and deliver a bunch of people on crack if you yourself can't even get victory over, come on, something as small as, this is not to bring offense or condemnation to anybody. I'm just being real. And listen, God can deliver you of whatever your substance abuse is. I'm just being honest with you. If you think you're going to deliver the crackhead, but you can't get delivered over a cigarette, Come on, somebody. It's just not going to happen. If you think that God's going to use you to deliver an alcoholic when you can't get deliverance over a soft drink that God's been dealing with you because of your, maybe because of your health, because of your sugar, because of diabetes and your blood pressure and all these things. And God's been dealing with you saying, I want you to work on this and discipline yourself. If we can't get victory over these small trials in the house of God, how are we going to deliver those on the outside? Because remember, the Bible says that we are light in the midst of darkness. We are the salt of the earth. We are eyes to the blind. So it's by the commission of the Lord, are being sent out into a dark, dying, bound world to what? To bring the gospel of the good news, to set the captives free, to bring liberty and justice, and to bring joy for joy and gladness for mourning, and to open their eyes from the darkness of captivity of Satan's rule, to bring them to the joyous or salvation message of Jesus Christ. Does this make sense to you? So listen, this is how I believe we're going to endure some stuff. We're in the midst of some shaking going on right now. In case you've been under a rock somewhere and you're not paying attention to it, there's an economic shaking happening right now. Tomorrow night, we're going to have Michael Snyder on here. We're going to talk about, I'm going to have him give you some more details on this economic shaking. Well, listen, I'm telling you, if you don't have your full faith and trust in Jesus Christ for your finances, it's time to do it. I wouldn't put this off. I'd be doing this yesterday. Because listen, you can't make statements like David did when he said, I was young and now I'm old and I've yet to see the righteous forsaken nor his seed beg of bread. Listen, I'm going to tell you, David just didn't wake up one day and say that. David went through some trials and went through some fiery trials over the area of giving and receiving and his finances in order for him to make that kind of statement. Luke said, give and it shall be given back unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. And with the same measure that you give, it shall be given back unto you. Paul wrote to the church of Philippi and he said, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. How could Paul make that kind of a statement? Because Paul understood covenant with God in the area of his finances, and he had been tried in this area and he had matured in this area. And because he matured through the trial in that area and through other levels of his faith and his walk with God, he was mature in his faith. And what could have brought him down in times past, now, come on, he gets to a place. I love this. Paul survives a shipwreck that probably would have killed the average person, but Paul understood the power of fasting. He understood the power of prayer. He understood the principle of angelic help. And then, so through these principles and his faith in God and enduring this, he gets through the shipwreck that should have killed him. He gets out of that, steps on an island only to be bitten by a serpent that jumps out of the fire. Now, most people would have said, you know what? This is ridiculous. I'm done. I survived all that. And now I'm going to get bit by a viper. Are you serious right now? But what the Bible says, he shook it off in the flame and he just pressed in and he endured. Come on. I'm telling you, friends, listen to me. I declare to you that are watching and listening right now, you just, as you're being tested in these fiery trials, you just keep believing the word of God. You keep praying. You keep giving. You keep fasting. You keep worshiping. You keep praising. The Bible says, having done all, stand therefore. And the Bible goes on and it talks about that. Be not weary in well doing. Come on. For in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. So listen, I'm telling you, you're going to get, as you get through these fiery trials, you get through these temptations, you're going to get to a point where you're like the Apostle Paul, and the serpents are going to come at you, and the accusers are going to come at you, and all this junk is going to come at you. And in times past, it would have brought you down, but now you're just shaking it off and shaking off these serpents into the fire, because you have a work to complete until the end. And we're going to do that. He who is faithful, who began a good work in you, is faithful, who will finish it and complete it until the time, until we get to the end. Because so let me say it again, Matthew 10:16-22, but he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Come on, do you receive this word today? I want you to receive this word, apply this word, and watch God begin to mature you and grow you in your faith, so that you can shake off things today that in times past would have brought you down, because you're maturing in the Lord in your faith, and you're walking in that maturity in the Lord. And remember, it begins in the house of God. Why does it begin with us? Because we, again, we are the salt, we are the light, we are eyes to the blind, and the world needs to see the church go through some stuff that they're looking back like, how in the world did they go through that and make it on the other side? How did their marriage survive? How did their finances survive? How did they get through that health diagnosis? How did they get through that problem with their children? And you can come out there and say, if it had not been for Jesus. Come on, somebody. Amen and amen. Come on. God bless you today. Listen, again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. And again, if you've not downloaded our free app, again, I want to encourage you to do that today. It is free. Look at the link in the description of this video. Click on that link. You can get it today. If you're listening by app or by Spotify, just type in Endtime Headlines, get the free app, get it today. Listen, also, we want to give it an opportunity. If it's ministry is a continual source of blessing, information, revelation to you and your family, we want to give you the opportunity to give according to your heart. Maybe pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do two different ways. You can give electronically through the app, or you can give by check or money order right there at the on your screen. You can make that out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, and that's Monroe, Georgia 30655. Listen, guys, again, thank you for your support, your prayers, and your giving to our ministry. We're going to sign off for tonight on this Tuesday, March the 21st. Remember, don't forget, tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern, we have a special guest with us. We have Michael Snyder from the economiccollapse.com. He's going to be coming onto the broadcast. I'm going to give him the green light. He's going to give us some information that we need for the kingdom to apply these things, things to look out for, where we could be heading. So I'm excited about this. So don't miss that tomorrow. Again, tomorrow night, March 22nd, 8 p.m. Eastern time, 7 p.m. Central. We will be right here again, and we'll have Michael Snyder. So we're going to sign off for today. Again, God bless you. May the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.